Hey, this is a dark tangent, organizer of DEF CON. You're about to listen to some speeches from DEF CON 3, held July 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Tropicana Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, 1995. Now, the Tropicana has since been renovated. This speech and all speeches are copywritten, all rights reserved, the dark tangent, and DEF CON Communications. Permission is expressly granted, though, for educational, non-profit use. If you have any more questions about DEF CON, or want to send me some email about the copyright status, please email me at dt@defcon.org, or the website is www.defcon.org. Now, kick back, get ready for some good speeches, and thanks for supporting it.
You guys are my only vacation. I've done Hacktic. I spoke at Hackers on Planet Earth, and I was at SummerCon, and this is a very impressive conference. And one single sentence is getting me free lunches. Hackers are a major national resource. And any federal government employee that doesn't understand that is part of the problem. Okay. I'm going to give you a semi-serious briefing. I'm going to tell you what I'm telling people in Washington, on the Hill. We've got legislation in motion. How many of you were satisfied with the bio? In other words, I don't want to push a bio on you, but how many of you would you like to know a little bit more about where this weird guy came from? Yes? No? That doesn't sound like a majority. Okay. Substance? How many of you read the Bible? Okay, all right. Fair question. I'll do 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes on bio. I was raised overseas, son of an oil man, moved around a lot, and turned down Wharton because I couldn't afford it, and picked up a political science degree, my first oxymoron, and then went on, got a master's in international relations, thesis on predicting revolution, and this is cool. There was a film. And Larry may not be awake yet. By the way, we have two Hollywood producers that I have brought to this show. Larry Lasker's number one. You met him last night. He did Sneakers. He did War Games. He took me to a really neat restaurant but made me pay. he's a cool guy. Tonight, arriving here around 5 o'clock, is Jeff Apple, who did Line of Fire. And Jeff has Chris Bertolini working, and they're both doing two movies on hackers that I guarantee will be, which will not be hard, 10 to 100 times better than The Net. Okay? So, part of the grand plan is to have two really super giga cool, as my friends say, two super giga cool movies about hacking and the vulnerability of our system come out in the summer before the presidential and congressional elections. Because the question that we want to ask all of these people is, smart people, dumb nations, how come? All right? I am very political. All right, so anyway, I did a graduate degree, and turned down a job from Lloyds Bank International, joined the Marine Corps because I thought I'd become too intellectual. The Marine Corps had the desired effect. I turned into a rude, crude human being who knew how to break things. And that got real boring, so I joined the CIA, which is cool. I mean, you know, CIA is a lot tougher to get into than the State Department. I was a clandestine services case officer. I recruited agents overseas. By the way, Washington Post still hasn't figured this out. Case officers are employees of the U.S. government. Agents in the foreign intelligence world are traitors who sell out for money. Okay? So when you see these goddamn headlines that say CIA agent, you know, wrong. Okay? They're talking about case officers, professional employees of the U.S. government who are totally committed to doing the right thing. seriously. But that got old. Because I suddenly realized it was bullshit. It is absolutely impossible to run a really decent clandestine operation out of a U.S. embassy when you're a yuppie throwing around money, working late, and coming in on the weekends. It gets real easy to spot the spook. And I will one day have a conference and we'll give out Spot the Spook t-shirts. I'm real pleased. One of the things that I have done for the hacker community, I think, is encourage my government colleagues to come to these things. At Hope, we had three really great-looking teams of two men each wearing shorts, pressed t-shirts, and black shoes from Air Force Intelligence. But they were nice people. And they learned a lot, and the fear factor is going down. This is what's important. This is what's very important. The U.S. government is starting to figure out that maybe hackers know something the U.S. government needs to know, and that maybe hackers are not the poison, they're the antidote. And that's what I'm all about. When you go around saying the emperor is naked, what you're really doing is making up for communications and computing industry that is criminally negligent. Okay, security is out the window. We have a system that sucks. As you know very well, it is wide open, it is a gauze tent, and there are lots and lots of kids with matches out there. Unfortunately, we're now starting to see a marriage between criminals with money and hackers without money. And that's scary. That is very dangerous. In Rotterdam, hackers are running credit checks to help criminals decide who to bribe in the Dutch government. Hackers are running telephone traces on key people in the Dutch government. Now, in the past 3 years, it has been a deep privilege for me to be taken into this community and to become friends with many of you. And I know that all of you are in fact bright people pushing the curve. Shirley Turkle's book, My Second Self, Computers and the Human Spirit, still is the best definition of hacking on the face of the earth. It's the right stuff. It's pushing the edge of the envelope. Most people don't understand that. They think of it as breaking and entering. And I was at Computer Freedom and Privacy with Emmanuel, and this system administrator from the University of Wisconsin stood up and said, but they're breaking into my system, you know, they should be prosecuted. And I thanked him for standing up because he represented a very significant portion of the earth that just does not get it. Okay? The housing analogy, and I share this with you because you are the ambassadors of hackerdom. And I really, in the nicest possible way, think you have a responsibility to educate the media, Larry Lasker, Jeff Apple, who's coming tonight. The house analogy, breaking into a house, is bullshit. Okay? Houses have locks and doors and windows and roofs and shingles and all this crap. Dogs barking. Okay? You don't prosecute a bird for flying over an undeveloped lot. You don't prosecute a dog for walking through a rough-framed house with no doors, no windows, no walls, and no roof. That's what our communications and computing industry is today. Would you agree? Okay? We need to help the press understand that bad law is not a substitute for bad engineering. Let me go over that again. Bad law is not a substitute for bad engineering. Okay? We have raised an entire generation of overpaid computer programmers that haven't got a fucking clue about security. Unix! Yay, Unix! I mean, really, Unix security, oxymoron. And so one of the things that I think is extremely important, and here's where, may God protect me, I'm going to give lawyers something to do. The time has come for stockholders to sue corporate management for failing to protect proprietary information by having inadequate communications and computing security. The time has come for corporate managers to sue communications and computing providers for failing to provide safe C4. Okay? It's rotten out there. One major U.S. government agency, highly computer literate, mentioned by the previous speaker. By the way, I never thought I'd be at Rolling Stone, but Opposing Clipper got me there. Jeff Godel did a nice piece. Mike Godwin from EFF has a really great line on Clipper. He says, the government's asking us to believe that there is a class of criminal smart enough to use encryption and dumb enough to use encryption provided by the U.S. government. I'm sorry Mike Goodman couldn't be here, but he's really got away with words. Anyway, where was I? I've lost it completely. That organization. They intercepted, this is a true story, they intercepted every piece of hardware and software hitting their loading dock for a period of 1 year. They found 500 viruses. 500 in 1 year in shrink-wrapped, factory-delivered software. This is fucking criminal negligence. Okay? This is actionable. This is treason in the age of information. This is not good. Which means you all have a very bright future. One of the really cool things that I have seen in the last 3 years, and it really came out at SummerCon, which my good friend Eric put on, Eric Bloodaxe. Hackers are starting to ask about jobs with the U.S. government. This is okay. All right? This is neat. We still got to get over a couple of grooming issues and bathing standards and stuff. But now that we've got distance learning and we've got remote, we've got telecommuting, maybe we can get past that. We can have virtual smells, you know. The boss logs on and you look clean cut. Decide what your haircut's going to be that day. There is a lot of work to be done here. I am very, very concerned. Charles Perrow wrote a wonderful book called Normal Accidents, dealing with high-risk technology. It's a standard in the graduate programs for public administration. What he talks about is simple systems have single points of failure that are easy to diagnose and relatively easy to correct. Complex systems have multiple points of failure, harder to diagnose, much harder to fix. We have constellations of uncoordinated complex systems. Unfortunately, the power to take them down has been put in the hands of individuals with criminal or financial intent. Mish Kapoor, whom, not Mish Kapoor, he's the rich guy, Mish Kabay, who talks about hackers as pathological scum, is the Director of Education for the National Computer Security Association, and I will be debating him for a few minutes in Washington, the 7th and the 8th of September. Please, anyone who has any good ideas, my email address is ceo@oss.net, and I will be I will be debating Mish on whether hackers are a national resource or pathological scum. If you have any thoughts on this matter, please don't spam me, but you know, keep it to like one page. I really am looking for ways to show that hackers can in fact do some good. I failed at HOPE. What I was trying to do at HOPE, Hackers on Planet Earth, which was about 300 really good hackers and 1,100 wannabes, was get hackers to systematically publish the vulnerabilities by company, by industry, by country. We need to put that on the table. We need to put that out in the open. We need to really lay out the fact that I can take down, with your help, a country in 24 hours. I mean, my friend Peter Black did a nice piece in Wired. You take out the Culpeper switch in Virginia. You take out one of the power grid controlling computers. You take out the Barking Sands time antenna. You know, there are probably 20 really neat targets around here. And you don't need computing genius to do a lot of these. A chainsaw will do nicely. Northern Australia got cut off by a pissed off dude with a chainsaw that went down a telecom hole and literally hacked in the old physical sense, he hacked the cable connecting Northern Australia to the rest of the world. Bummer. This stuff happens. Thank you. Every day a fiber optic cable gets cut by backhoe. And you know all these wonderful channels that have these cable crossings? They have these big signs that say, cut here. You know, how dumb can you get? The one, and I must tell you, I like Mish Kabe. He ran the second Information Warfare Conference in Canada where I was a speaker. Mish is a nice person. He just loses it. He's on hackers, he's like Kissinger on Vietnam. You know, he freaks. But the one thing Mish has said that is very serious, and I'm really addressing this more to the journalists in the audience than to you. All of the insurance calculations with respect to telecommunications and computing are based on technical failure forecasting. They are not based on deliberate human attack. The minute you introduce deliberate human attack, you are fucked. Okay? It's gone. Insurance is out of business. Very bad news. We haven't designed to that. We really need to. One of the things that I think hackers really can do is share their brilliance and share their knowledge. We have people downloading hacker tools. Hacker tools are now in the hands of idiots and criminals that don't have the hacker ethic. This is dangerous. I'm not a do-gooder. I've been a very bad boy in my time. I'm reformed now. But the reality is we have a nice country. This is a great place to live and work and have children. This is a wonderful goddamn country. What happens when Wall Street goes down? Tonight, when? Well, I know. Well, I know, but those assholes have a purpose. You know, they keep the grease going. The reality is, Wynn is going to talk about this afternoon, and God, I'm glad I went to bed when I did. But by the way, guys and gals, Jeff Apple and Larry, and over here we have a guy from Discovery Channel, show them into the back rooms. Show them neat hacker tricks. Show them how easy it is to fuck up the system. Don't do anything that'll get you sent to jail, or at least don't let them record you doing anything that'll get you sent to jail. But teach them. Teach them. Help them understand the vulnerabilities of the system. This is a great place. And I think that if we're not careful, we're going to find that this so-called third wave that my friend Alvin Toffler talks about has no safety net. It doesn't have an agricultural or an industrial foundation. If the financial system goes down, Federal Reserve, in a brilliant move, went from 12 computers to one with a hot backup and a cold backup. We take out the Federal Reserve, trillions of digital dollars that are not backed up by anything are history. It makes the third world debt write-off look like a 16-year-old pimple. Okay? We're talking serious shit here. Now, we backchain to the wholesale retail banks, the ATM machines go down. All of a sudden, you see Alvin Toffler with a butcher knife on the streets of Beverly Hills looting the convenience store for food. It gets ugly real fast. You know, but I don't mean to paint too dark a picture. And anyone here who disagrees with me, please shout out, no, everything's fine. We got a problem. So let me, if you will tolerate a few more minutes, give you a sense of where I think you fit into a larger scheme of things. I don't know who did that. It's not part of my show. In the next 20 years, I am a warrior. I'm a fat, balding, middle-aged old warrior, but I'm a warrior nevertheless. And I believe there are things we have to fight for, because peace really does depend on the willingness to put a bullet through somebody else's head in the final analysis. There are going to be four warrior classes facing this nation, our nation, in the next 5 to 10 years. And I'm going to draw a quick sketch just so you get a sense of the matrix. What we have here is a matrix with two sides, brute force versus brain force, Sears versus Brutes, and low-tech versus high-tech. This is the high-tech brute. This is the United States of America and Saddam Hussein. Now here's the bad news. 90% of our Department of Defense dollars and 90% of our intelligence community dollars are spent thinking about high-tech brutes. Then we have the low-tech brutes. These are the narco traffickers, these are the criminals, these are the people that are smuggling, these are the people that are kidnapping kids to sell them somewhere else. Bad news is they present us with what we call the low, slow singleton problem, which is when you have a big fancy satellite system that's designed to detect fast-moving missiles that are creating huge heat signatures, you know, it doesn't do well against the Cessna. Billions of dollars and it can't find a Cessna. I can take out a Navy ship of the line any day I want with a speedboat. Well, I have to be willing to die, but that's okay. I can find somebody to do that. I think we really need to take a second look at just how stupid people on the ground can be. The sniper that took out the wife is one that's going to come back to haunt the U.S. government. Please don't misunderstand me. I care for my colleagues. By the way, in the FBI, agents are loyal American employees, because it goes back to the farm agent, agent of the U.S. government. It's only in the CIA where agents are traitors, okay? All the other agents are cool guys. I say that because I see Jim Settle over here and he's about to kill me. So you got low-tech Sears, okay? So you got cultural warfare here. And we got a real problem there, because the U.S. government intelligence community is designed to count missiles. It's not designed to think. It's not designed to understand cultural nuances. Then you have the high-tech Sears, and that's where you come in. High-tech Sears are a combination of economic war and malicious hacking. I don't like this bullshit cracking stuff, okay? Hackers, crackers, no. Crackers are a Ritz thing. Hackers are either good or they're bad. You're either Jedi Knights or you're not. And one of my purposes in life is to try and encourage you to be on the good side of the force rather than the dark side of the force. And that does not mean that I discourage you from hacking stupid systems. I think stupid systems should be hacked until they die. Because what you are in fact doing is making the system healthier. You are cutting out the dead meat, only you're not going fast enough. Work harder! All right, so you have four classes here. Now this is what's scary. France declared war on the United States of America the week of July 10th. On the 4th of July in France, several senior French officials at a public conference identified the United States of America as the primary adversary of France. In the week of 10 through 18 July, the French L'Expansion, which is the combination Fortune, Forbes, and Business Week of France, had a cover story in which Bill Clinton, John Deutsch, director of CIA, for those of you that don't follow that, Jules Krull, the world's most expensive private investigator, and a sponsor of my conference, so he's obviously very good, Bill Lee and Robert Steele were the five pillars, or the five strikes, to undermine the French economy and destroy France. Wonderful cover story. Little flawed in its facts, because they said that I've been trying for 2 years to undermine France, and the French government, in discouraging me, has attempted to push back this American thing. They overlooked the fact that I was invited to France by the Minister of Defense with the explicit approval of the Prime Minister to teach the French how to do open source intelligence. Rather than industrial espionage, their fingers were burned. They needed a little medication. And that's what I do. I teach people that 95% of what you need to know, you can get it legally and ethically. But France has declared economic war in the United States. And that's going to happen increasingly. Israel and Japan haven't declared it, but they're doing it. I mean, we are at war, if you will. I was talking to Alvin Toffler about this the other night, and he's absolutely right when he says that war is the wrong word. Because we're not at war in a vindictive sort of way. We're not at war in a way that intends to hurt other people. We really are in competition. And one of the things we haven't figured out is how do we do this right so everybody kind of benefits and prosperity increases on both sides. But the reality is, our intelligence system is not structured to provide the U.S. government with informed intelligence, with informed governance in the area of economic capabilities, and worse, and this is why I'm here, we don't have what I would call electronic civil defense. The single area where I work hardest in Washington as a nonprofit educational association is in attempting to get the U.S. government to spend more money on electronic civil defense. A little bit about that. 95% of our national security communications go across civil communications and computing pathways. Jim, have you talked or are you coming after me? When is history? I mean, he'll be around 1 o'clock. So you're probably next. Okay. Well, Jim has some really great stuff on what the FBI has found with respect to vulnerabilities. But the bottom line is, The civil sector is where we win or lose the next war. And not only, and you of all people know this better than anyone, not only is the place a shithole, we're not spending a penny on fixing it. And so one of the things we really have to do in the next 2 to 3 years is really help the American public, and through the American public, the American politician, and through the American politician, the American bureaucrat, understand that the single highest priority in the age of information is to have an information system that will not self-destruct overnight. And so that's why I think you all have such an important role to play. It is, I think, incumbent upon you to earn money, lots of it, by applying the skills that you have. Hackers are born, not made, in my view. I am not a technical hacker. I got into this, I guess, because someone in the whole Earth community decided I was hacking the intelligence community in a bureaucratic sort of way. And I think after many years of trying, that finally came to fruition when I followed Anthony Lake in testifying to the Aspen Commission on how our existing intelligence community, which needs to be preserved, human nature has not changed. You will always need spies and satellites to discover the darkest secrets of your worst enemies. But do not send a spy where a schoolboy can go. Now, the other side of that is the problem with spies is they only know secrets. They don't know that they can get that wonderful SDI tape that Eric showed at the SummerCon for $247 at Walmart. They don't know, as our yuppies in France found out, that everything they were asking has been published. Okay? So we lost 5 CIA case officers in France, I mean, for a variety of reasons, but one of them was it's easy. You know, we don't have a clandestine service overseas. We have this live and let live arrangement. Liaison pretends they don't know about us. We pretend we're doing spying and everybody's happy. But in fact, it's a joke, except for Beijing and Moscow, where we do it right. And that's something to consider. At this point, I think I would like to stop and take questions. But my bottom line is hackers are a national resource. You have a rich store of insight and understanding that needs to be shared. The best thing you can do for America and for the world is to continue to do what you're doing and to publicize it. Don't get caught, don't get sent to jail, and go faster. Thank you. Questions or shall I leave? Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. The question in a nutshell is, will government really be willing to work with hackers and accept hackers and hire hackers, or will it always be afraid of them and not trust them and try and contain them? The fear factor is going down. We still have a ways to go. But if you look at the difference between the days of that were described in Bruce Sterling's Hacker Crackdown and today, when you have people like Jim Settle and you have people like Bob Ayers, oh my God, Wynn, good morning! It's not 1 o'clock yet. All right. Are we done? I think we have Jim Settle and then you. Do you want to come after me? Okay, Jim Settle is next and then Wynn. 3 years ago, we still had a lot of problems, and we still do. The reality is we still do. I mean, when the Israelis catch a hacker, they give them a job and classify it. When we catch a hacker, we kick him in the teeth and throw him in jail. Something's wrong here. I had this vision once of this huge amusement park in Arizona with a big fence around it, and 7-Elevens that didn't charge anything. You know, it was like free. And any hacker that got caught would be sent to this amusement park to work for the government for the rest of his life or her life. Cool, you know? Unlimited snow cones. But I think all we can do is spot the Fed and then win them over. I'm very pleased because I have seen a significant change in 3 years. In 3 years, I have seen the federal government, law enforcement, even the phone company, come to conferences like this with an increasingly open mind. Yes, I'll come right to you. You're next. And I have also seen hackers start wake up to the fact that it's really cool to have money. And so maybe there's a marriage that we can have here, you know? Good money, you don't get killed. By the way, if I could be so bold as to say, the single worst thing about easy money with criminals is that they kill you when you piss them off. Okay? This is a serious warning. It's the last time I'll give it to you. If you go down that road and you piss them off, you'll get killed, and there is no leaving that road. Okay? So watch the fuck out. Because it is real scary out there. And these people will grease your ass in a minute, and they will never, ever get caught. Okay? You're just a bump on the road. And I truly am very concerned for my friends in the Dutch hacking community that have gone down that road. Because they don't realize that they are the slaves of the 21st century. And that's scary. Yes, sir. Yes. The question is, isn't this about power? Isn't the government a little concerned or reluctant because, you know, hackers have a different kind of power and the government is losing power if it takes them in? Revolution is inevitable. It's happening now. I mean, even the mainstream literature. In 1964, Howard Walensky wrote a wonderful book called Organizational Knowledge, Knowledge and Information and Governance, something like that. 30 years later, Harvard prognosticators are becoming rich by reinventing that wheel. And we have the reinvention of government movement. We have this cutesy book, quite nice, about the rise of the intelligent corporation, all this stuff. The bottom line is power is now in the hands of the individual. Now, there's a scary balance here. Not only is power in the hands of the individual in the sense of creation of knowledge, but the complexity of the systems that hold up organizations and nations have become so vulnerable to individual precision attacks. If I wanted to become rich and I had a criminal bent, I would find two or three companies that were very heavily dependent on computers. I would sell their stock short. You know what that means, right? So, okay, you sell their stock betting that it's going to go down. All right, I mean, you buy their stock betting that it's going to go down. And then I'd go decapitate their ass for 3 months in a row. Divorce the crime from the profit. Okay? It's not hard to hurt a company that is heavily dependent on computers. And if you know when you're going to hurt them, and you're going to do it anonymously, this is the scary shit. Wendell's going to talk, well, maybe he won't, but he should. You should ask him about the $400 million in extortion that Wall Street has paid the people who aren't in this room in order to keep going. It's bad. It really is. I think we're getting to the point where, I mean, when you have guys like Jim Settle and me showing up here, we're getting there. I think you should learn how to do resumes. I think you should market yourself. I think you should be proud of being a hacker. And I think you should make sure that there's no connection between whatever illegal acts you're doing to continue your hacking and your selling of good services. Another thing I'd say is Hughes STX, with Wynn's help, created a computer security business line about 5 years ago, and it went belly up because they could not get corporate people to acknowledge that there was a problem and to pay for the solution. That has changed. Hasn't changed completely. I spoke to a conference of corporate security types a year and a half ago, and at that time, corporate managers were still shooting corporate security types who dared to tell them how insecure their systems were. Well, I think lawsuits are a wonderful anecdote to stupidity. And the bottom line here is I see lawyers having a very, very rich practice in the next 2 to 5 years when stockholders sue companies because the value of their proprietary information is being eroded through improper protection. And company managers finally figure out that they should sue a communications and computing industry that is not providing good services. By the way, I'm going to attack Wired. Wired is getting very tired. I am not happy with the graphics art project. I no longer read that magazine. Yes, sir, you're next. I no longer read that magazine. And one of the reasons I don't is because they asked me to write an article called Is the Communications and Computing Industry Criminally Negligent or Just Plain Stupid? And then they wouldn't publish it because of their advertisers. You know, Kevin Kelly, that's kk@well.com. Okay. Hit him! Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Okay, there you go. My experience as a player,
All right, I think that's a very good comment. One thing I have found about lawyers is where there's money, there's interest. And so one of the things that we have to do, I absolutely agree with you. I have trouble getting the U.S. government to understand that maybe they need to have a national information strategy. You know, it took us a long time to get Reagan to figure out that he needed a national military strategy and a national security strategy to guide this multi-billion dollar investment. You know, B-2 bombers to take out donkeys. We really don't do things very sensibly. But what we have is a mission, and I agree with you that stockholders aren't very sophisticated. But they read the newspaper. And so what we have to do is help the newspaper understand that this is a story that will sell newspapers. We need to create this momentum, and that's why the two most important people at this conference are Larry Lasker and Jeff Apple. Jeff Apple has this wavy, white-gray hair, kind of like Discovery, but shorter, okay? And he doesn't wear T-shirts. He'll be here at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and I'll walk him around and point him out to a few people. But Larry Lasker, Jeff Apple, these people from the media, the single most important thing we can do is make this neat to be reported on. I was furious at Hope. It was on a weekend. It was a hot weekend in New York. All these assholes from the media come in for 30 minutes, snap a shot, and go to the beach. They weren't there at 3 in the morning. I mean, I've learned, A, not to stay in the same hotel with hackers anymore. I'll come to you right next. And B, I've learned that to do a hackers conference as a normal person who doesn't do hacker hours all the time is you go to bed early, you get up at midnight, you cruise until 3, and then you go back to bed, you know, until noon the next day, and then you start over. This is really cool. Government guys can understand this. Now, one of the things the government guys don't understand is that there is a lot going on in those bedrooms, the ones, you know, 6 inches deep in beer cans with all the furniture in the bathroom. You want to get them there. You want to get them there. You want to scare the crap out of these people. And then you want them to have your business card so that when they get real scared and they need help, they think of you. Yes, sir. Okay. Strat, would you stand up, please? This is Exhibit A. This is a hacker who knows how to wear a suit, shaved, cut his hair, and is an extremely successful person at UUNet, which despite its relationship with Microsoft is a damn good company. So, Strat. All right. You know, I mean, I'm really, it's not intended to be glib. The reality is, some of you guys scare the fuck out of them when you walk into the room. Good, yeah, and you look very respectable. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you don't want to tell them you know how to pick locks. Well, you see, it's all in semantics. For instance, I wouldn't put myself on a resume, I wouldn't say experienced hacker. I would say knowledge engineer. Okay? And I wouldn't say I pick locks. I would say I was an experienced locksmith. Okay? So what you want to do is you want to explain yourself in their terms. In fact, I'll tell you, I used to do really cool operations overseas where we would walk through walls, and you do that by picking locks and opening safes and all this crap. And I used to think that CIA got its lock pickers from the jails. Turns out they actually get them from master locksmiths who are the best people in the world in this area. So you need to divorce your skills from the perception of hackers. Being a hacker is not a recommendation in the corporate world. Being a knowledge engineer who has successfully protected corporate proprietary information by preventing intrusion, for $200 an hour, I'll help you write your resume. No problem. But this is the key thing here, is you want to change the way in which you describe yourself. And, in your case, you got to kind of go toward suits and short hair. In my case, I'm degenerating. You know, I grew this for a hackers conference last year and kept it. Who knows what's next? But you have a talent. I mean, I really, truly, I don't want to make too much of this, but it's magical. It is really special. And you need to communicate that rather than be insular and isolated. So that's all I got to say, is change the way in which you describe yourself. Are we about ready for Jim Settle, or is there another? Okay, we're ready. Thank you very, very much. I look forward to seeing you later.